Mother's Day is around the corner. Find the perfect gift for the mom in your life with a stunning piece of jewelry from Blue Nile. From timeless pearls to dazzling gemstones, Blue Nile has something she'll adore. Need it fast? Most items can ship overnight. Plus, enjoy guaranteed free shipping and returns. Don't miss our special Mother's Day deals. Save big on the season's most beautiful trends. For a limited time, get up to 50% off by going to BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
Many of us have those stubborn pounds that seem impossible to lose, no matter how good we eat or how hard we work out. My solution is PlushCare. PlushCare is a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. They can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Plus, they accept most insurance plans. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss.
A new record, Emma. An hour and 36 minutes we've been chatting.
That's not a record.
Who am I kidding? Who am I kidding?
Might be a 2021 record, but I doubt it's a record.
Now, we have an announcement. Well, not an announcement to make, but we just want to do a quick thank you because, Emma, we were so chuffed this week, weren't we? We got the best news. We were just $1.50 off our target when we set out on this Patreon journey. We are $1.50 off our target, and we genuinely, all sarcasm aside, all up to 90 sarcasm aside, we just want to thank you because it does mean so much. Thank you so much. We really appreciate it.
You know what? I had totally forgotten that that was this week because it just feels like time has no concept. It's just like, you know, an abstract concept now. I was like, is that only this week? That is crazy. But it's fantastic. We were delighted.
We were so thrilled. You know what? It genuinely gave me such a boost. I honestly was walking on air when I saw what the Patreon was this month. And we appreciate it so much because honestly, there's so many podcasts out there. I know I think everyone at this stage supports podcasts, but you can support all the podcasts you listen to. So the fact that you've chosen us, we love you forever. Like if you need, if you need anything from us, just an organ, an organ, PPS number, anything, just get in touch and I'll give it to you. No problem. Can I thank some new patrons who got on board? So who joined us on this Patreon journey? Now I can't read them all out, but I'll just read out a few. We've got Weiran, Gareth, Katie, Roisin, Gavin, James, Aoife, Eber, and we have Emma. Thank you for supporting us on Patreon. We are on Patreon if you want to check us out, but we don't want to bang on about it because a recent one-star review described us as, quote, literally begging for money, which, yeah, that's our brand. And your point?
Aren't we all? Money, money, money.
Must be funny.
It's good times. How are you anyway?
Asher, look at. I mean, we've talked it all through at this stage. I'm good. I'm looking now. We've talked it all through.
There we go. Asher, look, we'll press record now. Go on.
The duvet. I'm looking at a duvet. Molly, for feck's sake, we were going so well. And she once again pissed in the queen size bed in the spare room. She has this special spot in the bed that she likes to piss on. And so, isn't cat piss just the worst? Sorry, I don't want to start the podcast this way, talking about cat piss, because you know the next one-star review is like, turned it on, they were talking about cat piss. Yeah, we're literally begging for money. We're begging for money. We're talking about cat piss. We're not getting any younger.
No, cat piss is the worst because obviously I've had a few cats over the years, and my last cat, who we think I saw, does anyone know this cat poster on Facebook just today? But it is the worst. And if they get a spot that's their spot, they're fucking. And litter trays. Don't get me started on fucking litter trays. Why does Molly have, she does have a litter tray, but she just likes to piss in this particular spot.
Oh, yeah. Look, I think she's feeling neglected. Look, we were just saying before we started this podcast, I'm at the stage now where it's feeling quite intense, this lockdown. I mean, people talk about things like when the restrictions lifted in recent months. And I'm like, did that even happen? I just feel like we've been in a constant rolling lockdown.
Oh, like I saw somebody say something about like when restrictions were lowered or lessened or whatever over Christmas. I'm just like, that was fucking 6 years ago. Like, just forget about it.
Kilkenny, Emma. Kilkenny.
Kenny.
Can you believe that was 7 months ago?
Christ.
I just had a flashback today and I started laughing. When you said, I know we've referenced it before, but when you said, looked at me and said, Julie, I can't, you're going to have to carry this. Do you remember? And we had 46 minutes left on stage. And Fred, in an argument over the holidays, because none of us had the Christmas we were expecting, so we had to make the best of it. So Fred was feeling understandably fragile because we were all feeling a bit strange. We've been looking forward to seeing our families. It didn't happen. Yes. For obviously a lot of people didn't see their families. But I can remember at one stage, there was kind of a rolling argument over the few days. And at one point, Fred said, well, at least I didn't go off and do a podcast with no plan, with none. And then I didn't ring my partner and my child just to kill a few minutes because it was your podcast and you had no idea what you were talking about. And my defense was, that's our brand. Shooting the breeze. It wouldn't be shooting the breeze if we had a plan. He was like, everyone has a plan.
That when I heard that from Fred, I knew.
You knew it was bad. No, and that's to be bad. Fair, that one star review did another one of the comments in the review was, so literally begging for money and constantly failing at live gigs, which again, I mean, pretty on point, let's face it.
I had done the research, in fairness.
And I did. I might have said at some point, just to get myself off the hook, because it's kind of hard to, I mean, it's hard to rebut that argument when Fred throws it at you. At one stage, I said, I really wanted to plan, but Em was like, don't plan, no.
I probably fucking did I?
Well, I think at one point, I think Gerard Farrelly, you know, because obviously it goes without saying, the atmosphere was one of fear in Kilkenny that weekend because the mood had changed. So Gerard and myself were on the same page when it came to COVID that weekend. And I think I was standing in the bathroom 2 meters away from you. And then Gerard was at the door. And I said to you, do you think, should we write up something? So this was at 11 o'clock and our gig was at 1 o'clock. And you were like, fuck that. I love when you're hungover and you're like, fuck it. And I was like, fair enough. We all had a good laugh. But in that moment, thank Jesus, Gerard said, do you know what? If just at the end, when you're wrapping it up, why don't you ring Fred and Ted? Well, if he hadn't suggested that, we would have had another 7 minutes to fill.
See, this is the problem. Look at me. Pushing the blame. I need a firm hand. Tomorrow is Tommy's birthday. He is 6. Would you believe that? My youngest is 6. So that's what we're doing tomorrow. So there's a lot of big talk about that. A lot of talk. Oh, here's somebody. Do you want to come in and say hello?
Sorry, I forgot that you were in
here. Hi, Ella.
Hi.
How are you?
Good. Just
oh, she's getting wrapping paper for Tommy.
Oh, what a lovely sister. And he's getting a hot water bottle, is he?
He's getting a hot water bottle.
Times are tough.
It's gonna be filled. But I did look up a story. I did see a story, and just because last week we've been talking about you and cars and stuff, and I was like, oh my god, this has Judy's name written all over it.
Oh, go. I only have a little short one this week. Okay. So you hit me first.
So it's from, like, you know, now it's always a good spot for them. It's from the Metro UK.
I didn't know you speak le français.
Kids are still running around the gaff. Man found naked in car park, said he was on his way to buy wet wipes, but got lost. So first off, the headline's kind of long. Even I know that. And I've never written for newspapers. But I don't blame them, because I think it needed a bit of a long headline to kind of get the story. Yeah.
I'm in.
A man has been given a £200 fine after he was found naked in his Mazda in a closed car park on what he said was an essential trip to buy some wet wipes. The unnamed man appeared flustered when he was questioned by police in Derbyshire, who were patrolling yesterday after local rangers alerted them to littering and other soiled items in the area. Police said on Facebook, on pulling up next to the car, officers were startled to discover a lone male in a complete state of nature. So that's what the police in England call it if you're naked in a car.
A state of nature, mate.
Complete state of nature. Naturally, officers challenged the nude male. I don't know if I would have challenged him, asking him why he was in a closed car park. I'm sure they should have been asking him why he was fucking naked in his car, but I don't know. They just asked him what he was doing in the car park. The man claimed he had stumbled across the car park by accident after taking several wrong turns. You see, this is you as well. Having just made a specific journey to go to the shop to purchase a pack of wet wipes. However, the male was unable to provide a reasonable excuse of why he was stark naked in the car park during the height of a national lockdown. After finding him, they sent him on his way and told him to put some clothes on. The police team also revealed that they had found a couple who met up for a peck in a Peugeot in a car park at a closed beauty spot. A man made a 100-mile round trip from Lancashire to pick up his girlfriend in Leicestershire and took her up, the A511. To
ladies, young ladies listening to Up to 90, if any man ever tries to take you up the A5M1, is it Emma?
Well, the one
you tell him no.
A5M1.
Put a value on yourself.
To Staunton Harold Reserve, Melbourne, Derbyshire, to share a kiss that ended up costing them £200 each.
Oh, how? Ouch, that's steep, isn't it?
That is steep. So it cost, yeah, so like for £200 each for a smooch. But the other fellow was naked with baby wipes, but he only got fined £200 as well. So it mustn't matter what you're doing, but if you're breaking the restrictions of lockdown,
it's going to be £200.
It's £200.
So you may as well go hell for leather.
So this is it. Like, your man was, now I don't know, it said that there was the area, the first man they spoke with, and they said that there was wet wipes and other soiled items. I don't know exactly what the other soiled items were and what was in them, but there was a picture of some sort of bag. This is sounding bad as I'm describing, but this is not for comic effect. Just some sort of bag. It looks kind of cylinder in shape. Okay. And it looks like it has kind of like porridge oats in it mixed with some sort of liquid. Now, I know that doesn't sound great, but that is just what it looks like. And the police, it looks like a man. The policeman's hand is in the picture and he's pointing at the bag. I don't know why he felt the need
to, I was gonna say,
point at it and get
it's
into
like
it.
Where are we looking? Oh, at the bag. Thank you for helping us there.
Oh yeah, and then there's a picture of three police by their car, so they got two pictures. But the thing that this reminded me of, apart from you, I was like, that's you all over.
It
is me.
Imagine
you being without your bra. I don't know if you'd be completely stark naked, but like, I remember back in the day, from about I'd say when I was around 15, 16, I saw and was approached by several flashers.
You've had a few flashing experiences, haven't you?
Yeah, but it was very much within that age group. And was always in like, it was never a case of like, I was out somewhere and I'd lied about where I was. You know, that kind of thing. Like,
yeah,
you told them you were staying in so-and-so's house, but like you were in fucking Temple Bar at 3 o'clock in the morning or something. It wasn't any night that it was all like during the day, broad daylight stuff. But always the party line was, now I know this guy wasn't a flasher, but you know, like male nudity out in the elements is, it gets some attention, as it obviously did in this, like, you know, the police found him. But the party line was always, he's harmless. He's harmless.
Yes. Well, this was the issue, wasn't it? Yeah. It was kind of
sure
never.
But I'm sure in crime land, you probably know that lots of these people, these Dodge people, they start out as flashers, don't they?
I mean, it's, well,
I'm not saying wet wipe man is a serial like killer or anyone. I think he was just genuinely out to get wet wipes. I don't think there was anything sinister going on there at all.
I mean,
he brought,
I think,
the fucking wet wipes, you know.
I was just about to say he's thinking outside the box. Isn't he?
Yeah.
Pardon the pun, but he is. You know, I definitely think, you know, to me, dry, you know, wet wipes, it seems like I'm thinking considerate flasher, at least.
Yeah.
He's tidying up the gaff. He's, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
He's,
or maybe he, yeah, you see, maybe he was doing that thing of, I don't know about you, but like, if I'm going for a real, like, clean around the house, like, I'm having a rage clean. Like,
oh my god, I didn't know what you were going to say there. If I'm going for a real clean around the house, I thought, it's like, Emma, that's an everyday thing.
No,
anyway, real, go on.
A real clean around the house, like a rage clean.
Yes.
It's like Emma should probably sit down and talk about what's bothering her, but she's going to rage clean the gaff. You know what I mean?
Yes. Like, it's, I totally get it. Yeah, I have had recent rage cleans, and myself and Fred, again, I think a lot of couples can relate to this, that, you know, it's just getting, as you said, Emma, what day of the week is it? What's going on? It's just an intense situation. Yeah. And, oh, you know, we've had a few fights where I'm not quite sure what's going on, but I'm down the back room and I'm folding. And by God, I'm folding. I don't know what point I have to prove. You'd never get the gaff as clean as when, yes, you're doing a rage clean. It's very effective.
And the rage clean is good because if you went out of your way to hurt somebody physically, bad thing. But if you're hoovering and you accidentally clip somebody's foot because they get in the way, well, they just got in the way.
Yeah. And it's hoover up an ATM card.
Yeah.
These things happen. I was just hoovering.
Oh, the remote control ended up out the back of the couch and you didn't know where it was and the match was coming on.
Your car keys. Oh, how did that get in there? What's clogging up my bank?
The rage clean, I think maybe that's what your man was doing. I don't know. Don't get me wrong. I don't think he was doing a rage clean in his car. But what I do think might have happened was he went out to get the wet wipes because he needed to clean the car. And he thought to himself, you know what I'm going to do? You know, when you get really into the cleaning, the clothes just start coming off. Like, you can't be wearing a big hoodie. And like, if you're really
into
rage clean, you're working up
a sports bra.
Yeah, exactly. It's like sports bra, pair of shorts. So I think what he thought was, I'm going to get my rage clean on in the car. I'm just going to whip the clothes off for a minute and stick them in the boot so I can really just get into this car and clean it with the wet wipes. I have them now. And I think maybe he was getting into it so much that maybe just the odd wipe or two ended out on the path. But he was probably going to clean it up when he was finished.
I mean, I think you're spot on with this thought process, Emma, for sure.
I think you're going to clean the car. You drive to a secluded car park. You take off your clothes and you clean your car. And that's just what you do.
That's what if you're not doing that, let me tell you something. You're not cleaning your car.
No, you're not.
That's, I mean, you might think you're cleaning your car. You're not cleaning your
car. You're not. So look, 200 pound out of pocket. But at least the car is clean. There'll be no tyre slashing anyway.
Oh, thank God. It can't be a coincidence that I've moved to Kerry and your car's tyres are no longer being slashed.
I did think that. That's why I brought it up.
I had to do something.
I know.
I know. I thought I was starting to sweat. I did think you were starting to put two and two together with the eggs. But thankfully, I managed to convince you the birds were doing that.
Yeah, we're still getting the eggs. And the eggs, do you know what? Now that you mentioned about the eggs, so we got an old bucket for the milkman to put over the eggs to stop them getting, you know, inverted commas, pecked by the birds. But, this is an honest thing now. If somebody knows where the fuck you can get those covers for the milk delivery, the plastic cover with the little handle, please, fucking listener, do get in touch. Do DM.
Emma, please. Can we not? We have about three people in their early 20s listening to this podcast. Can we just keep them? Please, Emma.
Right, but I had a bucket. We got a bucket. We didn't get a bucket. We had a bucket. We left that outside from, and I said, but I did. I sent him an email and told him I've got a bucket out there for you if you want to put the milk and eggs under that. And that was working grand for a while, but the bucket blew away and I haven't seen it since. So I don't know.
So your bucket, so somebody took your bucket.
Well, no, I thought it just blew away. But now that you're saying somebody took it, I'm like,
I've said too much. I have said too much.
So, yeah, if you cook, like, if you give me back my bucket, if I go out tomorrow and I'm just having these visions of you driving up from Kerry in a fucking blizzard to put this bucket back
in my blue yars. I'm trying to convince the guards I'm an essential worker, but I'm a podcaster.
Oh, but we sure you haven't been up out in the car much at all, have you?
No, I had to go into a garage last week in Tralee. I went to one lovely garage and then they sent me to this other guy who was a bit of a prick, to be quite honest. And I said, you know what? Yeah. I'm going to take my business elsewhere and I can get my own exhaust pipe. Thank you. Because he just, you know, he said to me, I passed some comment like, oh, I can't remember what innocuous comment I passed, but you know, when you're just making chit chat, something about, oh, wet, I can't even remember what, something about, not about wet wipes, which is always my go-to, but something like, oh, you know, the weather or lockdown or just something. I can't remember the inane attempt I made at chit chat. And he's like, well, that's one thing, but I'll tell you now, what really is frustrating is people rocking up here at 4:30 and expecting me to help them. And then I was like, okay. So the only reason I'm here is because the guy in the other garage told me to come up here because he was fairly sure that you had this part. They gave me the appointment, which is 4:00. I've come straight from there and that's why I'm here. So I'm sorry I've called at 4:30, but I didn't have this information until 20 minutes ago. So that's why I'm here now. So he's like, oh, no problem. No, I'm not giving out about you. I'm giving out about other people who come up at 4:30. So I was like, okay, that old chestnut. Mm. And then he said, why don't you ring me on Monday? And then I said, you know when I'm going to ring you now? And he said, when? I said, I'm going to ring you at 4:30. And we all fell around laughing. We were good mates. But I rang him then on Monday. I rang him at 3:30. I rang him at 3:30.
Yeah.
And he said, oh, I thought you were going to ring me. And I said, I am ringing you. And he said, well, I thought you were going to ring me earlier.
Exactly.
And I said,
No.
I said, oh, no. I said, I went to ring you and then I'm on my own in the house with, which was true, by the way, 100% true, because Fred gets 3 days out of the Tommy show. He doesn't come back for 3 days. And then anyway, he said, well, I was going to ring to see about the part, but I just didn't know what was happening, what was going on. So I said, I'd wait for you to ring. I said, listen, this relationship has gone on for too long. Do you know what I mean? Emma? Like, I personally, I know I probably should have rang him before 3:30. I did think of it. But you know yourself, when you are on your own, like, it's hard to actually find a moment, because Ted was having none of it. Whatever about being pissed off and me calling into him at 4:30, you're kind of taking the mickey if you're pissed off at me ringing at 3:30. And then he had the cheek to give out about people calling into him at 1:00. I said, well, when do you want people to ring you? No, you're now down to an hour a day you want people to call you.
These are, let me tell you the rules. Let me tell you the rules, okay? Because obviously your previous professions are different, okay? You don't have, it's not the same thing with teaching. These are the rules, okay? If your job starts at 9, you get in between 9 and 9:30. When you get in, you turn on whatever you need to be turned on, whether it's a computer, lights, whatever the fucking dealio is. When you get in and you get yourself settled, it's breakfast. Might have to look at things, but it's breakfast, okay? If somebody rings you between anywhere around when 9, 8:30, no, that's too early. You're in work, but it's too fucking early. The ideal time to phone somebody, if you've said, I'll phone you tomorrow.
11.
11. 10 that's to 11.
My, 11 is always my go-to time.
If somebody rings you at 10 to 11, you think, oh, they're on it today. 9:30, it's a bit like the people that ring at 9:30, you know they wanted to call you at 9, but they've been holding off, and 9:30 is as far as they were able to wait. So about 10 to 11, 11 is the ideal time. Okay. 12, But once it starts getting to 12:20, okay, it's too close to lunch. So it's gone.
Yeah, but this is what my friend was telling me.
Yeah, don't call it lunch either. And don't call like a 2:05, because I've only fucking finished my lunch. And I'm back at work, but I'm looking on the internet back at lunch. So now you may
Scroll time.
It's scroll time. Thank you. So now basically, if you phone me at 2:45, it's not ideal, but it's acceptable. And if it's a second after that, you may fuck off, because then it's like, what the fuck are you following me at? Now, the great one to say is, what the fuck is this person doing calling me at 4:00 on a Friday? I mean, that's bad. But you can basically much say, what is this fucker doing calling me at 3:30 on a Thursday? Like, you can slot it into every day.
But in my defense of calling into him at 4:30, I do live quite far away from Tralee. So I explained that I do live far away.
I'm not saying it's right, but these are the rules.
It's life. You're right.
He's been winding down since,
I'm telling you,
2:45.
Having met Martin, let's just call him Martin. That's not his real name. Having met Martin, chatted, semi-flirted with Martin, because something happens to me when I'm in a garage. So, I mean, yes, Martin is, I would say, 55 plus. But I mean, anything that gets my car, anything that gets my car up that A5M1, I'm willing to take one for the team. So something happens to me when my car is up on a ramp. I become a different person. I'm a flirt. I'm a bit of a flirt. So he had the giggle about ringing him at 4:30, and all of that happened. And I explained to Martin that I live far from town, and it's not a case of me just popping into Martin. Of course, any woman with a beating heart wants to pop into Martin at 10:30 in the morning, but that's not always possible. But I do draw the line, because then in the phone conversation, he proceeded to give out about a man who had called into him at 1:30, and the man had banged into something, and something about that he had messed up a panel, had to get the panel fixed. And Martin's given out about this man calling into him at 1:30, and doesn't he know it's lunchtime? Now, my issue with that is, surely this man could not have planned the accident around Martin's scroll time. Like, an accident is an accident, Martin. It's just something that happens. It's not. And then also, when I made the point, well, maybe he's working from home. He said, well, people have lost. Yeah. Martin said, well, people need to get a grip. What does that mean, Martin? So he's given out about this man who's come in having had some kind of collision. And instead of saying, I hope he's okay, he's given out about him because it's on Martin's clock. It's like an inappropriate time. So 3:30 is wrong. 4:30 is wrong. 1:30. I mean, you're giving me an hour long window there. Actually, Fred's here. Let's just ask Fred. Fred, if you were ringing a business, say, on a weekday, you have to ring a business, what do you think is the ideal time to ring a business?
11 a.m.
Wow.
Because me and Fred are always having the chats. We've talked about this already.
Have you been talking to Emma about when you ring businesses behind my back? Have you? I had two very short ones, but I might just do one because, you know, let's save this comedy gold for the next week. I'll do one. I might do the second one.
To Fred as soon as possible anyway.
A Tesco in Lancashire, and you also mentioned Lancashire. A Tesco in Lancashire refused to sell a teaspoon to six. Liam Whelan of Haslingden visited the supermarket to grab some spoons and was told he was, quote, too young and that he needed to be over 18. Tesco has since apologised for the gaffe. Now, what's that about? Too young to buy a spoon?
I think this is... Does Liam have... Is Liam ginger? He sounds Irish.
Well, the name... I was going to call your attention.
Right, isn't it?
Liam Whelan. I'm sick of this shit. I'm absolutely sick of it. Sunday, bloody Sunday.
They were going to tell you he's going to make a pipe bomb out of the fucking...
I love that Alan Partridge. You know that Alan Partridge? Oh, I love that one where he's talking about, for the day that's in it, Sunday, my favourite day of the week, Sunday, bloody Sunday, and plays. It's such a good moment. Every now and again, at least twice a week, I physically stop walking. I just stop in the middle of the road. And I say to myself, Steve Coogan had a relationship with Courtney Love. Do you remember that when they were going out, shacking up?
Yeah, I really do love him, though.
Oh, love Steve. And love her, of course. It's a given, the two of them. But just an interesting mix. I mean, I presume the whole spoon thing. I guess it was the fact that the spoon is cutlery.
It was a teaspooner.
It was a teaspoon. So not even, like, you'd say something if they were like, listen, I can't sell you the tablespoon, but the teaspoon. Okay. I'm thinking because he was under 18, they couldn't sell him cutlery. Maybe that's it, that you can't sell a knife to 16-year-olds.
Well, I remember back in the day when I started smoking, it wasn't too bad because the age was 16. And who has ID when they're 16? So, like, obviously we all bought smokes. And then there was a little bit of period where it was 18. But you were already smoking, like, the shops already knew you, so no one gave a fuck. But I know not as many, like, teenagers smoke now. They don't. I've seen the odd few vaping, but are we so out of touch, Julie? Are the kids, are they doing the teaspoons now?
Something's going on. I think Liam was, I think.
Are they on the teaspoons?
I think he could be on the teaspoon. Perhaps playing the spoons, which is an even bigger crime. Have you ever had to sit through someone trying to play the spoons?
Julie, I nearly started playing the fucking spoons the other day. I was so...
Of course you did. You're a one woman band. Now, I think with the whole spoon thing, it did get me thinking back to, do you remember that? Of course you do. The Alanis Morissette song, Ironic, and the line, it's like 10,000 spoons when all you need is a knife. And at the time, I remember my cousin informing me, she said, oh, and to think some people don't know what that's referring to. And I laughed along, not having a clue what she was talking about. But only recently I thought about it. And I'm thinking it was a drug reference, because you use spoons, don't you, to melt stuff? Is that why they wouldn't sell him the teaspoon?
What? Oh, like he was burning heroin or something?
And a teaspoon? Would that be it?
I don't think the guards seize the teaspoons. I think they seize the drugs and the money and stuff. I don't know what they do with the teaspoons. I don't think each, like, say if you're selling, I don't know, because I've never bought heroin. Do you sell?
I haven't bought it recently.
Bag? No. I've never bought heroin, so I don't know. Would you buy a bag or something?
I don't know. You know what?
It's not like a starter kit. You wouldn't get all the bits. They don't sell you the needle and the teaspoon as well.
No, I think you have to buy the bits separately.
Yeah, it's kind of, so it's annoying like that.
It's definitely a day at the square, isn't it? Because you have to go to the various shops. There's not just a one-stop shop.
I'll tell you something about square. Well, I've gone to the square thousands of times.
You are the square.
I am the square. And if they want me to be the fucking Lord Mayor of the square, I will happily oblige. But one time for my birthday, I think I was, I don't know, I want to say 14. A few of us went off to the square for the birthday, right? And we went to the cinema. I think we went to McDonald's, and then we decided that we were going to go round to the village and get some drink. So I think what we were going to try and do, don't arouse any suspicion, but just ask somebody to go in and like get us 5 naggins, you know, like just like scrab, but like, could you just
a casual order? Because that's what I buy all the time as a 37-year-old. You know what? I'm just going to buy 5 naggins just to have them in. And you'd always ask the person.
Although it's like so much cheaper. No, I like to just ration my drink because I have a problem. It's like a selection, you know, selection box, variety pack of vodka. So we're trying to get someone to go into us or to go into the office and buy us 5 naggins. We could not get anyone to go in. Anyone.
I can't believe it.
But what they all kept saying to us was that I didn't realize. Well, not all of them, but a lot of them, what they said was, there's actually cameras all over here. I can't go in and get it for you. And obviously the guard station is just there as well. So we couldn't get any drink. But then one woman said, no, I'm not getting it for you. She goes, look, go around the corner and I'll get you some Bacardi Breezers, I think she got us. So we were like, grand, okay. So she got us, it must have only been 6. But I thought we all had 2 drinks. We all had 2 drinks anyway of something like very, you know, like Bacardi Breezer or fucking Scrumpy Jack or something. And we all drank them. And then we all just went around and pretend we were pissed.
But I don't understand the mentality. Like, I can remember back in the day. Of course, drink
each, I don't know.
Well, you'd be asking people to buy you a drink back in the day, and people would buy you a drink. I mean, usually we would probably target kind of a youngish guy in his 20s.
Yeah.
Because I don't want to say men are easily manipulated, but like men are easily manipulated. So
you didn't even vocalize it with each other that like we're going to target men in their 20s to ask to buy a drink.
But I mean,
like,
you were
subconsciously you, didn't you?
Even as a worldly 13-year-old, you knew you could talk a 27-year-old man in a Nirvana t-shirt and a check shirt. He's your guy, not the woman in her 30s who is going to call the guards on you. Like, that's not the person you're going for. You're targeting the guy at the bus stop. He's playing snake. You say, oh, I like snake. You like snake. I like drink, you like drink. And then in like what used to be so funny was they would then try to hang around with you and you'd be like, oh, what a creep. Like, get out of my life. You know, they were so disposable just, but obviously they were, by the way, completely morally, you know,
corrupt.
Morally corrupt. But I do question, I mean, whatever about the men, but that woman in that situation, like, because the men, let's face it, were... I would think,
you know,
most of the men who bought us drinks were kind of creeps. Like, they were guys in their 20s who should not have been buying teenage girls drinks. But that woman, like, what would her thinking be? Oh, they're going to do it anyway, or a Bacardi Breezer won't do them any harm. Is that the thought process?
Yeah, I think so. I mean, to be honest with you,
what is she getting out of it? Because you can't even walk away from that saying, I did a good thing there. You know what
I mean? I'd say at that point, honestly, I'd say what
she
happened.
She was a guard. She'd been watching you from the station. She was like, these poor bitches.
No, but a bit of that, like, I'd say at that point, because we had been trying to get drink for fucking ages, like, I'd say it felt like ages because you weren't used to having to wait that long. But we probably were at it nearly an hour. So we probably were just like, please.
You were ready for your next McDonald's.
Yeah, you know, we just didn't factor in that part of the plan would take so fucking long. But I think, like, we had two drinks each, absolute fucking max.
Well, actually, the last thing I'll say on the subject of you know, talking about how you had the maybe two Bacardi Breezers each and everyone was like, "Woo, I'm pissed." I can remember the last all-girls holiday I went on, I went to Croatia. And we laugh about it now because we talk about how it was the worst planned girls holiday ever. Like, when I say the last girls holiday, it was like the last kind of week in the sun that we did together. Mm. Obviously, since then, we've had shorter trips or, you know, disastrous journeys to Colombia where Julie got robbed 3 times in 1 week. And the British ambassador was like, just go home, Julie. Like, it's just...
Why didn't you go to the Irish ambassador? Or the
There is no Irish embassy. This is the thing. Look, this is the thing about Ireland. It's like, we're all like, bloody Sunday. And then you go to fucking Colombia, which I've heard, by the way, I went there before it became a tourist spot. Now, apparently, it's great to go to. But when I was there, yeah, the people were lovely. The ones that weren't robbing me, and I don't blame them for robbing me. I was there with this hair, this skin tone, and obviously they see somebody who looks like me who comes from Ireland, and of course we are there because we're privileged. Like, there's no way of disguising it in any other way. So, like, obviously if you are traipsing,
better off robbing you than one of their fucking fellow country people.
Well, it's I do like this. I mean, I don't think this is a controversial thing to say, but anytime I've been traveling and a fellow traveler has talked about getting robbed, because that's what happens when you travel, you get robbed. Yeah. I have never had an iota of sympathy because I just think it's part of the deal that you go to these places and you kind of do get robbed because you're privileged and they're not. So, like, it's like you see these people in places like Colombia, and
when,
you know,
when you're saying about getting robbed, are you talking about, like, putting your handbag down and then turning around and it's gone? Are you I don't think you should get mugged if you go on holidays. I don't think, like, you do sign up for that. I think if you put your handbag down and have a big long chat with some fella from England and think that you're flirting with him and look around, your bag's gone, I think, yeah, that's fine. That's, you know.
Yeah, well, no, I do think the third time, no, you're right. The third time, well, you're not going to see it as part of a Falcon holiday package.
No.
Mugging,
maybe we'll after COVID, who knows?
Mugging, brackets, no knife included.
Anything to give them an adrenaline rush.
Well, the third time I got robbed, I did have to go to the British Embassy because there was no Irish Embassy. And I had to laugh because the guy anyway was asking us, oh, where were you guys? You know, the way we're all doing the merry dance, like we're all skirting around the issue that we're from Ireland. Because you just want, you know yourself, you've been robbed. That the third time we got robbed, we were robbed at knife point in a forest. Fun. We're sitting there, we've had lunch, we've had a cup of tea, had a few biscuits. And eventually the British ambassador was like, you were born in Northern Ireland? Like, absolutely.
Yeah.
100%. And then, you know, and then luckily one of the girls in the group was like, I was born in London. We were like, thank God. Okay, nice. You can't get rid of us now. We have somebody who's one of your own, blah, 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 even though she only lived in London for about 2 weeks. So that's the thing with the embassy situation, that even though you're all Sunday, bloody Sunday, when you've been robbed at knife point in a forest in Colombia. You're seeking out that union, Jack, and nothing feels like home more than going in and their arms wide open. They've got the punjana tea on. You're like, thank God. God save the Queen. God save the Queen.
Yeah.
Back to the girls' holiday in Croatia. So I remember the last day of the holiday, we look back at it as the worst planned holiday ever. So it was so badly planned that one of the girls in the group would say things like, let's go to this really cool industrial city. And we'd go off and go to this industrial city that no was not on the tour. I mean, the key word there is industrial. Like, why are we going to a fucking industrial city in Croatia? But anyway, it was such a badly timed holiday that we ended up in this nightclub, and it was apparently there was supposed to be like a music festival. So this puts a time stamp on this, by the way. So at the time, Cascada, do you remember Cascada?
Yeah.
She was playing on one island and we were like, which one will we go to? And again, the girl who suggested day tripping to the industrial city was like, you know what, I think this other one's going to be really good. So we got the boat there to find out that it was essentially like nothing was going on. So the really devastating part of it all was we could hear Cascada in the distance, like Gloria, and it was just so cruel because there was no way to get to a place where there was people because we couldn't get there by boat.
It would have been full of rides as well.
So there was a white couch. So the big joke was that the only thing you could do was dance on the white couch, take a few pictures, as in, oh, we're having a mad time. But everyone involved in the picture, everyone involved in the picture knew the truth. Yeah. Now, the next day, we are alerted by friends at home to say that. So, sorry, it would have been. So the next 2 days later, because the night had passed. So the following night on this island, which is basically like fucking Achill Island. It is tiny. So the only thing to do on this island was to dance on this stupid white couch. So we are alerted. Who's dancing on the white couch? Fucking Prince Harry. So Prince Harry had also, he'd also been misdirected to this shit island, and he's also doing the thing of like, we knew Prince Harry, he was having a crap time too, but he was making the best of it, and he was on this white couch dancing. Now when we got news that we had just missed a night of dancing on a white couch of Prince Harry, he was on the white couch the following night. So we missed him by the day. So then we said, look, the jig is up. We went on the
last. Like, who gives a shit? But at least she would have had like
a bit of crap. Imagine the photo. Like with Harry. And this was when he was in party Harry mode. Like,
Yeah.
He probably would have been coming back on the Ryanair flight with us to Dublin. Like, I mean, he would not have been going home if he met up with us because he would have had such a good time. So we went on the lash and we were drinking this beer and things were getting crazy. Like, I mean, a couple of the girls were kissing one another. Like, it was the messiest now I've ever seen it. And then at about 4 p.m., I didn't kiss anyone. I had a boyfriend at the time, and I'll just leave a little nugget because this is a strange coincidence before I finished round this story up. But I was there, it was like 4 o'clock, and then I turned the beer, bought the beer around, and I say to my mate Maria, who was sitting beside me, I was like, Maria, there's no alcohol in this beer. And I remember she spat it out. The beer just flew across the pool. I had to tell all the girls, we're sober. Like, we've been drinking non-alcoholic beer all day. But it's the classic example of, it is placebo. Do you know what I mean? Like, sometimes you can actually be as drunk as you want to be and it's all in your head.
They're all scoring each other.
You know, it's just a little peck, a little cheeky peck or whatever. And it's all, you know, we're all having a laugh. We're laughing with the German guys who are there. And it's all fun and games, getting a bit messy, a bit hairy. And then you discover we're all completely sober. But when I came home, I ended this story, I did have a boyfriend at the time. And I panic bought because I said, oh my God, the last day in Croatia, I need to get him something. Mm. So I bought him a salt and pepper shake. You know, the one of the two people hugging.
Oh, yeah.
That one.
So it's a good one when someone's living at home with their parents as well.
I think so. So yeah. rocked up to his gaff after the holidays. I got you something, gave him the present, and his face, I'll never forget, his face went white. He was horrified. And I was like, geez, I knew it was a shit present, but I didn't think it was this shit. So then he kind of left fairly swiftly. We parted. I'd go back to Limerick. And then I rang him during the week and I was like, what's the story? Your reaction was so strange. I'm sorry. I know it was a bit of a shit gift. And he was like, it's not that. I'll tell you at the weekend. And I was like, oh, Jesus. So went back to the gaff in Dingle and he was like, there's something I have to tell you about the salt and pepper shaker. My ex-girlfriend, when she went to Croatia, she brought back the exact same salt and pepper shaker. The exact same thing. God. He was like, what is it about me that my long-term partner goes to Croatia and says, yeah, that's him. He needs to season more.
That's like a horror movie where he just keeps getting
the exact same. And he said the really scary thing was it was the same colors. It was like a blue and a peach.
Jesus Christ.
Emma, my time is up. Goodbye.
Goodbye.
God bless.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more, with Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to Quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. Quince.com/style.
Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Cats and cat owners deserve better than any old-fashioned litter. That's why I teamed up with scientists and veterinarians to create Pretty Litter. Its innovative crystal formula has superior odor control and weighs up to 80% less than clay litter. Pretty Litter even monitors health by changing colors to help detect early signs of potential illness. It's the world's smartest kitty litter.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.